praise you, Father. We glorify you, Heavenly Father. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's always good to praise the Lord, isn't it? You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I was riding my motorcycle with my brother to Glenwood yesterday to see our mother, while I was riding there, I was looking at all the harvesting being done in the fields that are ready to harvest, and I made me think of the scripture that says the fields are white unto harvest, and I realized that's where we are in the world today spiritually too, that there's a world of people out there that are ready for the picking that God wants you and I. We are the soldiers of the cross. And it made me think of those big combines bringing in that harvest for the summer and everything. And pretty soon that harvest is going to be past and it's too late. And I realize what we're doing it because there's an urgency in our hearts to want to reach out to people, to minister, to reach the lost. And that's why we're going forward. You know, Bob and I have talked to, we don't have any idea where God's leading us right now on this journey that we're doing as a body and everything. But I believe we're being led of the Holy Spirit into an area where we're going to reach the lost. That's what it's all about, to reach the lost. And you know, secondly, I was looking at all the colors, the trees, and all the different colors in the trees and all the different types of trees. And I was looking at the landscape and the fields and all the bushes and stuff along the ditches and all their beautiful color. And I think how God has brought those colors all together. Every one of them accents one another. And I thought how great that is. And it made me think of you. Because everybody in here is different. And God has brought us all together for a purpose to glorify Him. And we all have a purpose. And there's not one of us that God excludes. He loves each and every one of us. And it made me excited to realize that I'm important to God's kingdom like everybody else. And whether you think you offer a little or a lot to God, God doesn't count us about how much we give Him or how much we don't. He loves us because of who we are. He created us for Him. Amen?
Amen.
Then they get you excited about Jesus. Yeah. That's the God we serve. And we can do that with freedom in our heart. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. I just want to encourage you on that, especially since I'm going to be talking on encouragement. Here, I thought you had it up there already. Praise the Lord. Thanks, Amy. All right. But brothers and sisters, we are the army of God. We are soldiers for the cross. I'm not afraid to say those military words today because that's what we are. We're in a warfare, a spiritual warfare for eternity. And this is why we're going forward to serve the Lord. How to give courage to others. And we do that through encouragement. Because you know that word courage? Where do you see it? It's an encouragement, isn't it? It's up there. It's in there. I just wanted to point that out. Another preacher speaking about encouragement defined encouragement this way. He says to add courage to. A person who gives words of encouragement is helping another person become bolder and braver. Isn't that the truth? By giving encouragement, he's adding courage to that person. He's helping a person stand firmer and go farther. On the other hand, to discourage a person is to take away a person's courage. Right? That's what we do. We can, our words, we can either bring somebody down or we can build them up with encouragement. Amen? And that should be, Crossfire Assembly wants to be a church that's going to encourage people. To encourage, to give courage. We want to be able to do that. Church, I don't know about you, but I want to be an encourager for Christ Jesus. With the Lord's help, the Holy Spirit, that's what I want to be, as an encourager. When a person is working for God, I want to encourage them to continue on. I want to help Christians to keep going, to keep on keeping on, and to do their best for the glory of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I want to encourage you to do. I want Christians to become bolder and braver. I want Christians to stand taller. I want Christians to give their best effort for the King Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
That's what we want to do as the body of Christ. As we go forward, I want all those things for us. We're going to be a church on fire, crossfire. We're going to be on fire for God. We want to be an encouraging church that when people come into this church, that they're going to be encouraged when they leave too. Amen? Amen. I want to help them to be successful. I want to give them an added boost. I want to be a godly encourager. How about you?
Yes.
Some of you haven't said yes yet.
Yes.
There's still a couple of, come on.
Yes.
100%, I like that. Woo! Man, you got to get radical, people. We're Pentecostal. We're Pentecostal. We're full of the Holy Ghost. We have a tendency to get radical for Jesus. Spirit-filled people, right?
Amen.
See, when we get over, Lord willing, if this is how we go today, we get over to the other church, that neighborhood's going to be on fire.
Oh, yeah.
Amen? There's a lot of residential around there. We're going to be, guess who? See, it's like a runner normally would tell you, it's always encouraged when they're near the end of a race and they hear the crowds cheering and everything, the closer they get. What's that do to a runner? It encourages them. Whether they're winning or they're losing, they're encouraged in their spirit when they hear the crowd saying, you can make it, you're going to make it. It encourages their heart. Even if you're the last person, you know you're going to be the last person, you're encouraged. Why? Because you know you're going to make it to the end, even though you're at the end. Encouragement. Encouragement. We always want to encourage others. Amen? We want to be able to do that. I'm going to emphasize that today. All of us can use encouragement from time to time, and all of us can use a pat on the back. How many like a pat on the back once in a while? Huh? I sure do. Man, I love to get pat on the back. I don't need it to survive, though. But it sure is fun when you get it. Our text for today is out of Hebrews 3:13. It says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, I believe in addition of giving encouraging words, we need to encourage our fellow Christians in speaking and living the cross. We need to encourage each other to live for the Lord Jesus and to live for the cross in order our hearts that they do not become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We got to be careful of that. We have to guard our hearts. When do we do that? When do we encourage each others?
Daily.
Yeah. Hebrews says today. Today. We do it today. So when we're done with the service, if you know somebody, you can call on the phone or in the home you're living in or somebody around and give them an encouraging word. We're to do it today. Because we don't know what tomorrow is. But we got today. This moment we got right now. I thank God for everybody sitting in here. You're all really beautiful people. You remind me of me. We're all human. Amen? Jude 1:3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Oh, by the way, too, you know, because I know we're having this meeting after the service, I was kind of encouraged to cut this message short. And, of course, my mouth fell open. And that's just what nobody wanted. They wanted it closed. So, but anyway, in Jude here, the idea is to maintain the original faith of the gospel in that scripture which was being destroyed by false teachers. But we're to exhort each other in the Word of God. Amen? Today I want to look at three ways we can encourage one another. Number one, you can encourage one another with your words. With your words. See, this is probably the most common way that we encourage one another. We tell people how much we appreciate them. We're to tell people we appreciate them. Look at what Proverbs in chapter 25 and verse 11 says. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Can you see those golden apples sitting in that nice silver frame, that beautiful picture? That's what a word is to someone. Of encouragement. It's telling us a word fitly spoken is a timely or appropriate word that can encourage, and the Bible is a good source to give that word of encouragement right here. You know, whenever you're encouraging anybody, I always make sure I do it according to the Word of God. Because you know something, the world can give us encouraging words too, can't they? They can do things and encourage people along the way too. But I want people to know why I can encourage them is because of what God has done in my life. Those are always opportunities, not only to encourage you and I to live for the Lord Jesus, but when we encourage people in the Word of God, we're encouraging them to live for the Lord too. We want to be able to do that. There's a story about a pastor who was going into retirement and getting ready to leave the church. At his farewell dinner, he tried to encourage one of the members who had been a member for a long time. She was a member of the church before he had arrived there. He said to her, "Don't be so sad. The next pastor you get might be better than me." She replied, "That's what they said last time, but it just keeps getting worse." Church, that was an encouragement, was it? But you want to know something? It happens. It happens. There's people like that that are just, you know, anyway. We open our mouths and insert our foot. We want to say the right thing, but as we start to speak, it comes out all wrong. It comes out all wrong. I've done that. I meant good, but, you know, it came out the wrong way. And you didn't intend it to be that way. Even when we don't really mean to say the wrong thing, even when all our intentions are honorable, words sometimes get all twisted around. And James gives us a word of wisdom right here. He says in James 3:2, he says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." Did you know that even Christians fail and offend among believers? We offend each other sometimes in what we say, what we speak. But see, the Holy Spirit alone can control the believer's tongue. If we're depending on the Holy Spirit can bring conviction a lot of times, or just give us the wisdom and the help to speak the right things. And that's why we depend upon the Holy Spirit. We're a church that is led of the Holy Spirit, and we depend on the Holy Spirit. Amen? Think about it, the impact of words. What is that old saying? Sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We sure know that's not true, don't we? How many have ever been hurt by words? My hand's already up. Ruth, put your hand up. I'm the witness there. You remember the shoe in my mouth? Shoo. The effect of words of a parent that they have on a child, how we speak to our children. The effects the husband's words have on the wife and vice versa. The impact the boss's words have on an employee. Words say in love, what we say in love. Words said in anger, what we say in anger can affect somebody. Words said in encouragement, when we encourage. Words said as gossip. How many know how to stop gossip? Stops here, doesn't it? That's how we prevent gossip, especially within the body of Christ, because Satan loves to use the tongue to tear the body of Christ apart. And if there's somebody spreading some rumor or something that's going on, we stop it. I had a guy one time at work, and he started spreading things about me not doing something or whatever, and I knew who the person was. Rather than let him get away with it, I walked up to him, and I said, I won't say his name in case somebody knows him, but I said, "You know something? I heard you said this about me," and I said, "You know, and I know it's totally untrue, and if I ever hear you say another word about me like that again, you and I are going to walk up to the general manager, and you're going to tell the general manager exactly what you said and why you said it and where you heard it from." And from that point, he never said it again, because that's where it was coming from. And he and I got to be friends, and I led him to the Lord. He's on fire for Jesus. We're brothers in Christ today. And I tell you what, but you know something? You nip it in the bud. If there's false things going around, go to that person. Don't gossip. Words can hurt. The last words on a deathbed are really important too. Words have helped shape your lives, just as We have shaped the lives of others by our words, what we say to other people. There's a book titled Just Folks. It contains a collection of poems by a gentleman by the name of Edgar Guest. It was published in 1917. He says, and by the way, this is before we are living in the society we lived before, so here it is. We're queer, strange folks here. We'll talk about the weather, the good times we have together, but we'll never hear of sinning or any scandal that's beginning. We've got too many other labors to scatter tales to harm our neighbors. We one rule here, and that is to be pleasant. The folks we know are always present or very near. As though they dwell in many places, we think we're talking to their faces. Flaws aren't so big when folks are near you. You don't talk mean when they can hear you. And no scandal here is started, because from friends we're never parted. Amen? So all of us should want to encourage people with the words we say. The task of encouragement is not about you. It's about helping others. Amen? Amen. We don't want to encourage other people for self-gain or anything, or hypocrisy either. We do it because we truly want to encourage somebody, because it's not about us. It's about saying words that will build up, words that will give hope, words that will give courage. And again, I believe the most encouraging words come from the scriptures spoken in love and sometimes in tough love. Did you know I can encourage some people when I'm honest and give them tough love in their life when they need it? Because I tell you what, the people who truly love me always tell me the truth. And I know that if I get the tough love from them and I get the encouragement from them, I know it's from their heart. It says in Proverbs 27:6, it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I don't trust people that are always giving me compliments all the time and saying, what a wonderful person you are, and da-da-da, and they're saying, oh, what wonderful good people, how wonderful you are. You got to be careful when that happens. I like the person who's coming up there saying you're living in sin and you need to get out of sin. It's going to lead you into an eternal hell. That person loves me. They're not bringing condemnation at me, but they're trying to encourage me to turn from my sin. Amen? Boy, I got quiet there. Whew. Got quiet there. But it's truth, isn't it? We need to be encouraging and not be afraid to tell the truth. Not to be afraid to tell the truth. I've told Christians in the past, brothers and sisters in Christ, who've approached me because of the different ministries I've been involved with, and I've always told them the truth. Some would get angry and walk away. You won't see them again because they didn't want to accept the truth, and some of them would begin to weep because they thought nobody cared enough to tell them the truth. And that's why I encourage people with the truth, whether it's a personal encouragement or it's encouragement from the Word. Our second point today is you encourage one another with your actions. How many of you know the statement, actions speak louder than words? Amen? Whew. There's a lot of truth to that statement. Here's the fact. People notice what you do. Look what the Lord said in Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:7. He said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen? The Lord looks at our heart. We look at the outside, the visible part, and we think, wow, what a wonderful person. Oh, look at that nice little family sitting there. Aren't they just, ooh. But behind the scenes, it might be a whole different story. And we're not to look on outward appearance. The Lord didn't. He sees the heart. See, by our actions, we're setting an example for other people around us. How we treat people, how we respond to people, how we act around them. People are watching us all the time. There's somebody watching you and you don't even know somebody's watching you. Amen? There's somebody that sees you. Who is I talking? Oh, I was talking to a guy from England this week, a gentleman. He's an English guy, works here in the United States, and I met him. And he told me that he saw me in England just before I was getting on an airplane to go to Kiev. Wow. He says, I remember you because I talked to him. He was in the line with me. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Who would ever guessed? And so, you know, I treated him, and I told him I'm going to Kiev. I'm going to do missionary work over in Kiev and then over in Moscow, Russia. And here, all these years later, I run into the guy. He's a tech over at Budget Truck Company in Minneapolis here. But he remembered me. And I treated him really nice, too. But that's how he remembers me. He said, I never forgot that. And, you know, one time my wife and I were sitting over in Brooklyn Park, too. A Teen Challenge guy walks up to me, and he said, are you Lynn Diekman, the guy that came on Thursday nights and preached the word to us? And I said, yeah, praise the Lord. How you doing, brother? And he said, that's you. I did get carpal tunnel by that ministry, by the way, shaking hands. But, you know, people are watching us by our actions, how we treat them. Speaking one thing and living another, people notice that, whether you believe it or not. One day it will catch us. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, and I use this a lot because it's important. It's the word of God. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And what do we do when we do that? We glorify God when we abstain from the appearance of evil. And if you think, well, hey, it's my personal life. No, it's not. It's God's life.
That's right.
I belong to Jesus. And how I treat myself, how I treat others, represents my Lord Jesus Christ. And if I'm involved or doing things that can make somebody stumble or fall away from God, I'm responsible for my own personal actions. Amen?
Right.
Where I go, what I say, what I do, what I eat, what I drink, what I have a habit of doing, if it's affecting somebody looking at you and saying, if that's the way that person is, I don't want to be that type of person. Or I want to be that type of person. Actions speak louder than words. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit every day of our life to bring conviction into our hearts and lives. Amen? To be, make us always be aware of what we're saying and what we're doing. Especially in those instances where you could flare up really easy too, to realize Satan will grab a hold of those things and try to destroy your testimony. And we got to be aware of that. Listen to what James in chapter 1 verse 22 says. He says, but ye, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I think that's interesting. You know, it's bad enough to be deceived by others, but it's worse yet to purposely deceive ourselves. To deceive ourselves. We need to live this life with total faith in Christ and the cross and what the word says, or we deceive ourselves. If we're living contrary to what this is and still claiming it that we are, we're deceiving ourselves. And we have to examine ourselves again, our hearts, every day, don't we? Praise the Lord. Did you know that love is more about action than it is about emotion? At least it is defined as that in the Bible. Let's look at how the Bible defines love in 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. See, that's love in action right there, in motion. Love is action rather than emotion. Here's the reason. I can choose to be patient or not to be patient, can't I? That's my choice. I can choose to show kindness or not to show kindness to somebody. I can choose to brag or not to brag. I can choose to be self-centered or to be Christ-centered. I can choose to hold a grudge or let it go. That's my choice. That's love in action when we make choices the right way. I can choose to be loving toward other people or to be indifferent. You see, love is action rather than emotion, brothers and sisters. It's action. Ephesians 5:1 says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Do you know how we do that? We do this by obeying the word of God. That's how we do it. We obey the word of God. Paul says, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That's a pretty strong statement right there for Paul to be able to say that. Paul had to be living the life, didn't he? See, when you and I imitate Jesus Christ as born-again believers, we have the right to call upon others to imitate and follow ourselves as others. Don't we? Let me ask you, don't put any hands up. Are you living your life where you could say to somebody else, follow me as I'm following Christ? Don't put any hands up. Brom, keep your hand down. You know, that's a good question to ask, isn't it? Can I truly say to somebody, you need to come to Jesus and you're not living where you belong? Follow me as I follow Christ. We have to ask ourselves, does our life line up according to that? Church, our actions speak louder than words. Let us be examples of encouragement by what we do. If anybody's saying anything about you, let them say something. Boy, that person is really a person of faith. They love Jesus, and man, they live their life accordingly. I don't like them, but they sure love Jesus. I've had guys tell me that. I don't like you personally, but he said, man, I admire the way you live. You live what you talk. And then I say back to him, the reason you don't like me, that's your problem. Because you don't even know who I am. Sometimes we form things before we even know people, don't we? We judge them and we say things. I've done that, and it's a terrible thing to do. And then you find out issues behind the scenes, and you wish you could take it all back. By imitating our Father in heaven, we are setting an example for all the world to see. Amen? That's why we live for Jesus. That's why we ask the Holy Spirit when we wake up every day, Lord, guide me today that my life can draw somebody, compel somebody, woo somebody into the kingdom of God, because they're watching your life and they know that if I walk up and say to this person, I need an answer, that I'm ready to give that answer. Amen? And that brings us to the third point. You can encourage one another by your attitude. Attitudes. Whew. Let me ask you a question. When you see a half glass of water sitting on the counter, is the glass half empty or is it half full? Those who have a positive outlook on life see the glass as half full. Some people see life full of problems. Others see life full of challenges. What is your outlook on life? We encourage one another by our attitudes. There's a story of two shoe salesmen who went to a tropical island where no one wore shoes. The first shoe salesman came back with a negative attitude and was somewhat depressed. He said, it was so discouraging. No one wore shoes. I'll never sell shoes there. The second salesman came back and he was excited and he said, what great potential. He said, what great opportunity. No one wore shoes. He said, I gave away a pair of shoes to the tribal leader, and he loved them. All the other tribal members want shoes now. We have a wide open market, and no one wore shoes. See the difference? I went into a place one day, and I was soliciting for our company. And the guy was on the phone, and I walked in, and he looked up at me, and he says, what do you want? And I said, I want to talk to you. And he took his phone, and he slammed it down on the receiver, and he says, can't you see I'm busy? I said, well, I'll tell you what, John. I'll be back in 2 weeks to see you. And I turned around and walked out. 2 weeks, I went back in, and John was sitting on the phone again. And he turned around and looked at me, and he put his hand over, cupped the phone like this, and he says, do you carry credit apps in your vehicle? And I said, yeah, I do. He says, go get one so I can fill it out so I can keep you away from here. That first month, I did $5,000 worth of business with him. But see, as soon as he said no to me, I said yes. There is a potential customer. Because when they're so quick to give me a no, there's something good's going to happen here. And that's how I conduct it. But you know something? It's an attitude. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, the old is no longer usable with everything given to us by Jesus is brand new. The old's gone. Everything that you and I, if you're sitting in here, you're born again, blood bought Christian, everything in your life should be brand new. The old stuff isn't usable anymore, the way we lived our life. Church, I'm glad that God can take that which is old and make it new things. Amen? Amen. The next verse is on Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I use that one a lot in my life. Church, I'm glad that Christ gives me strength. Some days the pressures just seem too great for me to bear. But see, now I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I depend upon, I call upon him. I said, Lord, it's your strength that I need right now. Let's look at the third one. It says in Romans 8:38 and 39, it says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that an incredible, exciting scripture? Yeah. Nothing can separate me. Not even my bad attitudes can separate me from Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Church, I'm glad that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that will keep the love of God from reaching me. The only thing that can do it, if you choose to walk away from him. Sad to say, you got to say that, but we still have free wills. And even though, and you say, well, that can't ever happen. Yes, it can. If I had the time, I could build it on there in scriptural things too, with people who have done that, shipwrecked their faith. We got to be careful of that. That's why we encourage one another tomorrow in the Lord, right? Yes. No, wrong. We do it today. I didn't mean to trick you. I just, well, yes, I did. I did that on purpose. You see, God gives us strength each and every day to meet the challenges that we face. If you trust in him, he will give you the strength too. We trust the Lord. Put your faith in him. Depend on him because he's our encourager. Did you know the Lord can encourage your heart? That when you put your trust in him for whatever you're walking through, that when the Lord puts it through the power of the Holy Spirit, he will put encouragement within your spirit to help you to make it that extra mile, that extra day, that even sometime that extra moment of time in your life. Let me encourage you to be an encourager. Encourage others with the words you speak to them. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Tell them how much you love them. Look at somebody right now and say, I love you in the Lord. Even if you're saying, I'm struggling with that. It's not easy, Bob, but I love you, man. I'm just kidding. Encourage others with the example you set. Remember, actions speak louder than words. Speak up by being doers of the word. And show people how much you love them by being loving toward them. Encourage others by having a positive outlook on life. You should know, if Christ is in your life, you are in God's hands. He is big enough to care for you. Brothers, sisters, the world right now is looking for Christians who have a positive look on life. You know, I can even talk when I get involved in a prophetic thing with somebody, if I'm witnessing to them, whether I can be encouraging while I'm talking to them. I did that last week. I was talking to a guy prophetically, and I was able to talk encouragement to him where he was excited, even though we're talking about world events and what direction we're going. As a Christian, I gave him hope. I said, I have hope. I said, that's why it's so important to be right with Jesus. And I was able to give him the salvation message. And I gave him encouragement. Now, if I would have said, man, you better get saved really quick, man. This is horrible what's happening out here today. Depressing. Man. But see, we don't do that. Because no matter what happens in this old world, what happens to me, I have hope. Yes. I love the scripture. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say that with me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you came in here this morning, you're a little bit downtrodden, say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Because it's not forever. Amen? Amen? And I'll finish again with my starting scripture, Hebrews 3:13. It says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I want to encourage you today. Encourage one another. Encourage yourself as David did in the Lord. Take the scriptures and encourage yourself using God's word to do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nothing is impossible to them who believe. My hope is in God. My trust is in the Lord. Amen? Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. See, I kept it pretty decent now, didn't I? Did I get a vote on that one? Okay. Praise the Lord. Boy, that was tough too, man, Jim. I'll tell you, Pastor Jim. I was cutting corners, man. Glory to God. We'll just take a couple minutes here for a quick ministry. I want anybody that said, and just be honest with the Holy Spirit, brothers, sisters, because, you know, if you and I aren't honest with the Holy Spirit, one another, we miss what God wants to do. And I want to go forward knowing that we're a church radical for Jesus. I want to go forward knowing that we are a people who are not afraid to be honest with one another, to be honest with the Lord, so that the Holy Spirit can freely move amongst us and we can begin to see the God that we serve, what a supernatural working God he is. Rather than being complainers and murmurers and fearful and doubters and whatever else, we can be people of God and saying, I know God is going to take care of this situation. How many in here today would just raise your hand and say, I need that encouragement right now? Praise the Lord. There's hands all over because we all do, don't we? We're living in tough times, but we're going to make it. Amen? And let's just agree in prayer here today. And I want to do this too before you leave. If there's anybody you just say, no, Lynn, I'm battling deeper than you think, and I'd like prayer today. I want you to come up here, and we're going to pray for you too. We want to minister to you as an individual, also as well as corporately. But let's all pray together right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Raise your hands up to the Lord, and you praise him and thank him while I'm praying. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Ghost. We thank you for the Word. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your love and your kindness and your salvation, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who came to earth and died on a cross for our sins, Lord, and that he arose again. Lord, we thank you for resurrection power, that, Lord, this world isn't it. What's coming is really what is it. And we're excited for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Father, we're looking forward, Lord. I pray, Father, for everybody here that needs that encouragement to look to you, Lord, not to look to the next day or the day after, for we're not to worry about those days. All we do is we look to you, Father, because you are in the now. You're in the past, you're in the now, and you're in tomorrow. Even tomorrow, you've got our lives planned out as we look to you. So right now, we as the body look to you right now and would ask that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you put an encouraging word and thought in any hearts here today that are struggling right now, Lord. Let joy come where there's been fear. Let joy come where there's been depression. Let joy come where there's been oppression. Let joy come where there's been fear. Let joy come where there's been doubt. Let joy come where there's been irritation. Let joy come, Father. Let joy come and encourage the hearts today, that when people leave today, they're going to sense a new bounce in their step. Not because of what I said, because of what your word said and what you do, for you are the God of the impossible, and we are conquerors, we are victors in the name of Jesus. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And let's right now, as we move forward here, I want anybody, if there is anybody that needs prayer, I want you to come up and line up here, and the others can just kind of, if you want to just meander around a little bit back there, away from the front here, or out in the hallway for a few minutes. We'll gather back for a meeting, but we want to take time to pray for anybody, whatever it is. You come up here right now, and let's have God do a work in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God.